Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Okay, picture a paper airplane. And how big is this paper airplane that you're thinking about? I'm going to guess it's probably the size of a piece of paper. So, okay, now imagine that this particular paper airplane is big. Really, really big. I'm talking 64 feet long big. Well, that is exactly how long a paper airplane project in Fitchburg turned out to be. And for more on that story and some other arts headlines, we're joined now by Amy Gorell, producing editor at WBUR's The Artery. Amy, it's good to have you on Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Magna.
So I saw pictures of this airplane at WBUR.org, and it's absolutely awesome. So to the folks who haven't seen it yet, tell us what it looks like.
Yeah, so this is a project organized by Jerry Beck. He's the founder and artistic director of the public art organization, the Revolving Museum. And you might be thinking that this is just one big sheet of paper, but that's not quite right. It's 64 feet long, like you said, and it's made out of corrugated cardboard, the same stuff that cardboard boxes are made out of.
Okay, so it has actual structure then
under
a lot of paper. Okay.
And it kind of needs that because it also weighs 1,500 pounds, and 64 feet is really long. That's longer than those Silver Line buses with the bendy part in the middle. It was unveiled yesterday at the Fitchburg Municipal Airport, and it got quite a reaction. Here's 17-year-old Fitchburg High School student Matthew Croach, who's also a member of the Fitchburg Cultural Council.
We knew that this project would be big and, you know, just very extravagant, but we didn't really imagine that it would be this big. I mean, there are people from all over the state here right now in Fitchburg.
I love how he says extravagant, because that's what it sounds like to me. Lots of cardboard holding up all that paper, but it's still a paper airplane. So what is it covered with?
Right. Well, from top to bottom, it's completely covered in art. There's paintings, drawings, prints, poems, even images of Facebook posts. There was more than 5,000 people that actually contributed to this project. And getting a lot of people together to work on these outrageously large projects is sort of the thing that Jerry Beck is known for. He started the Revolving Museum a few decades back to orchestrate these massive creative public works. Here's Jerry at the unveiling, emphasizing the importance of creativity.
Every important movement in the world, artists have been at the forefront. Sometimes we forget that. And it's about your creativity that's important. It's not about if you could do a perfect painting in a museum. It's about being creative in your everyday life.
I love that sentiment, to be perfectly honest, Amy. And it's significant also that this paper airplane project was made in Fitchburg, right?
Right. So Fitchburg was one of these classic mill towns, like Lowell in the 1800s with textiles. Beck says Fitchburg was once one of the top three paper-making cities in the world. And that connection is really driven home with this project. The city is framing this art, which is completely made out of paper, as a symbol of the city's future. They're saying that it's time for a revival in Fitchburg.
Love it. Well, but I really want to know, it was unveiled at the Fitchburg Municipal Airport. Did it fly?
Well, no.
Okay.
I think it might have started out that way a few years ago, but then the project sort of took on a life of its own. The wings aren't quite wide enough to let the plane go airborne, and the plane is far too heavy to fly at about 1,500 pounds.
Now, technically speaking, 1,500 pounds isn't too heavy to fly because, like, jets are super heavy, but that's okay. But if you're a paper airplane and you're 1,500 pounds, I get it. Maybe it didn't take off this time. But still, great project. And again, we've got links to images of the paper airplane in Fitchburg at radioboston.org. Now, Amy, while you're here, I want to talk about a couple of other art stories that have been featured on The Artery. One that caught your attention recently was a collection of works by an artist named Michelle Lugie, and her chosen media is plastic bags.
That's right. I'm sure, you know, as you and many listeners are aware, that there's a lot of growing concern about plastic waste making its way into our oceans and harming the marine life there. And there's something called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's this large trash vortex out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And that news really hit home with Cambridge artist Michelle Lugie.
Okay, so what then does she do? What does her exhibit look like?
Right, so she takes these plastic bags that she finds. Sometimes she just plucks them right off of trees in her neighborhood and crochets them into these fantastic tentacly creatures. It's a project that really mixes art and activism. And her exhibit opens today at the Boston Sculptors Gallery.
Today? Okay, terrific. Sounds like it's well worth taking a look at. Well, there's another story I want to talk about before we let you go, Amy. And this is one we should touch on because it's about the proposed Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial in Boston. Now, city officials have announced the five artist finalists who want to compete to design the project. But I think perhaps more importantly, Boston has actually expanded the scope of the memorial. So tell us about that.
Right. Well, we've known for a while that the city wanted to create a memorial to the Kings, but now we know quite how big it's going to be. The memorial actually now has several components to it. You know, there's the actual memorial on Boston Common. Mm-hmm. And then they're also talking about having an educational experience in Dudley Square, which we don't know more than that right now. And there's also plans for an endowment for King-related programming at Roxbury's 12th Baptist Church. That's the church where King worshipped and preached when he was a doctorate student at Boston University.
Okay, so the actual memorial plus educational experiences and funding for King-related programming. That is quite a bit bigger than we had heard about before. But in addition, the memorial is not just to Dr. King himself, right?
That's right. This is a really noteworthy memorial, I think, because it's for both him and his wife, Coretta Scott King. It's going to be built in the city that Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott fell in love in, and it's really intended to be a testament to their relationship and to both of their legacies.
All right. So what then can we expect happening next with this memorial?
Right now, the five finalists will be given $10,000 stipends to develop their proposals for the memorial, and city officials say that those five proposals will be available for public viewing in September. The final project has a budget of about $3 to $5 million, and there's hope to have a finalist chosen by November.
Aha. Okay. Well, that would be terrific if they can stay on track. Well, for right now, we've got a link to the Arteries write-up of those five finalists for the Martin Luther King Memorial. That link is at radioboston.org. Amy Gorell, producing editor at WBUR's The Artery, thank you so much. It was great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Magda.
We'll be back. I'm Agnetha Chakraborty. This is Radio Boston.